In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text, our Old Testament reading, Genesis 11, and our second reading, Acts, the second chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we call it Noah's Ark, but it wasn't his building project. It was God's. From start to finish, it was God who was the architect. And Noah? Noah was his labor. God gave the blueprint, and through Noah, God made it happen. God supplied the gopher wood, and if you read Noah's account, the account of Noah's flood, as Moses records it, then you'll know that even when they go into the ark, God is the one who shuts Noah in. Now, the ark, it was not sleek and snazzy. It was built, it was big, it was magnificent, but it wasn't particularly beautiful. It was sort of just a basic floating giant box or boat. It had no oars, it had no sails, it had even no steering wheel that we know of. But it was brilliantly conceived to give glory alone to God. It was driven by the winds that God provided and the waves that God provided. And it showed, that ark showed that Noah and his family firmly and faithfully trusted in God, was totally dependent upon him for all things. Yes, the glory of the ark was the glory of God. It is very, very different from Nimrod's most famous building, the Tower of, we call it Babel in English, Babel in the Hebrew. The Tower of Babel, that was man's idea from start to finish. It was man's architecture. Man was the builder. Man was the sketcher of the blueprint. Man was the baker of the mud bricks. Man was the layer of the bricks and the bitumen. The tower was not a boxy building. It was a tall tower. A tower that you actually pierce the sky, a tower that man could look down from and be proud of. Like the Burj Khalifa, like the Shanghai Tower, or in America, like our One World Trade Center, or before that, the Twin Towers. Or I guess it's no longer called the Sears Tower, though some speak of it that way. Willis Tower. Or even the Empire State Building. The tower was all about the glory and the ability of man. Come, let us build, they said in their one language. Come, let us build, they said, something solid and something sturdy and something grand and something big enough to house all of us in so that we do not have to scatter all over the ends of the world. Come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower that reaches to the heavens. Let us reach to the heavens so that it is known by God once and for all that we do not need him. That we do not need his help. We do not need your protection, God. We do not need your dumb command to be fruitful and multiply, scatter and fill the earth. Subdue it. Let us tell God once and for all that with man, all things are possible. And the tower was great. So great and so grand and so high that God looked. And God looked. And God looked. Finally, God just had to come down and see this thing for himself because it was not as grand as man had thought it was. The tower was tiny in the eyes of God. The tower, so great and so grand, God has to come down to inspect. And when God arrives, behold, the tower is tiny in God's eyes. But the idolatrous ego and the heart of man, it is so vast and it is so deep and high as Sheol, the valley of the shadow of the dead. Every thought, every intention of man is only continually evil like they were before in the days of Noah. And out of the heart of those men came evil thoughts, coveting and deceit and envy and pride, just as freely and readily as they flow from our hearts today. You see, the Lord does not see as man sees, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. The Lord doesn't look at outward appearances. The Lord judges by the heart. So the Lord condemns their building project. He confuses their language and he scatters them over the face of the earth. That is what happens when you build your house on the sand. Friends, what about the building projects in your life and mine? Are we building like Noah? Or are we building like Nimrod? Is it all about God's glory, or is it all about what pleases us and what we want our lives to be about and what we think they should be? Do you trust God and His Word even when it is being mocked by the world around you? Or do you seek the approval of men and the praise of men, and so you are afraid to speak? God sees your heart. He sees mine. He sees our priorities. How much money do you spend and time on entertainment and cars and fish houses and vacations and land and lakes? None of those are bad things. Those are all gifts from God, by the way. But juxtapose that. Put that beside and oppose it to how much time you and I spend hearing the word of Christ, going to Bible study and studying that word, opening the scriptures daily that we might read, mark, and inwardly digest that. Compare that, if you will, to the generosity of offerings, giving to the poor, giving generously to God in offerings. It is not about what the church needs. Well, the church has this much, the church has that much. That's not what this is about. It's about what God has given you. It's about your heart. What has God given you? Look at your own generous giving to God and to the poor. Do you see your neighbor in need? Do you provide for them? Do you care for them? Do you serve them? God sees even what we do in the dark. When we check into the hotel room when no one else is looking, or when everyone else goes away and we're just by ourselves, or when everyone else has gone to sleep, God sees and He knows and He looks at the wickedness of our deeds. He even sees how we keep silent, how we refuse to speak God's word of truth to our family and friends as we see them engage in gossip and slander, fits of jealousy, fits of anger, domestic violence and rivalries and dissensions and drunkenness and cohabitation without marriage and orgies and homosexuality and transgender stuff and the premarital sex stuff and the polygamy and the unwholesome speech. Just take for an example. Open your ears as you walk down the streets of Lidgerwood on any given day, but especially on our most cherished day of Heritage Days, how many F-words fly from people's mouth as children walk by on the street? Unwholesome speech. Because we are afraid. We are afraid to speak about those sorts of things because they'll cause division in our families. And we don't want to be thought of as that guy or gal. So then, I have to wonder, will God come down? Will God come down to see our idolatrous building projects in the same way that on Mount Sinai, God came down and saw the golden calves and He put to death 3,000 people there in one day for their idolatrous worship? Will He come down the same way that He came down at the Tower of Babel and scatter us from the presence of God and from our families forever? Could. I know. He will. That is a scary thought. He will on the last day. He will come down and condemn everyone who has built their house firmly and primarily on the sand. But, dear saints, you have not built your house chiefly and firmly on the sinking sand. You are baptized. You have come today in humility and repentance, saying, I, a poor, miserable sinner, you have come to hear God's word this day. You have come to ask for forgiveness for the same sins that you have committed, that you find yourself wrestling against in the sand slipping under your feet. You have come to ask for forgiveness. You have come to eat his very body and drink his blood given and shed for you. You have. And he is the God, remember, in Noah's day who covered Noah's nakedness. He is the God who comes down even in the midst of golden calves, and even in the midst of doubts and fears. He comes down not to scatter, not to confuse you. He comes down to cover you, to protect you, to restore you. He comes down in a manger. He comes down to hang upon that cross to bear your idolatry and my idolatry. He comes down to be scattered from the Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? That he might bring you to him, that he might draw you to himself and put his spirit in you, not just so that you live, put that spirit in you so that your body is a building for God, a temple not made with human hands, a temple of the Lord and his spirit. Put his spirit inside of you so that you fervently and joyfully and in gratitude cry out to the Father, Abba, Father, our Father. How many times have I heard in my 9 years you pray that prayer, dear brothers and saints and sisters of the living God? Abba, Father, our Father. Come, let us go down, the Father said. Come, let us go down and pour out our spirit upon these people in water and word that they might share, dear Son, in our glory and dear Spirit. Let them be called sons of God. Come, my beloved Son, you go down first. You go down first and you carry their burden and their idolatry in your flesh, and you answer for it, not with gold or silver, but with the precious blood, your precious blood. And then you, Holy Spirit, you come and you go down and you comfort them with that gospel. You preach that Christ to them that they might have access to the Father, that they might have access to me even here as they dwell below. Come, let us go down and build them up into the spiritual house, the house of living stones. What wonderful stones, dear saints of Holy Cross and Emmanuel. What wonderful stones. I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about each of you. The living stone founded on the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. Come, let us go down, make them into a spiritual house. Let us lay the chief cornerstone and found them on the rock, Jesus Christ, forever. Come, let us go down and build, our Lord says on Pentecost. As he begins his newest building project, on that day he came down, not to kill 3,000 people for their idolatry, no, to save 3,000 people by the preaching of Christ crucified and their baptism into Christ. Today is a day not for scattering, not for scattering and confusing tongues at all, not for the judgment of our God. Today is a day of the mercy of our God. Today is a day of the loosing of the tongues of the nations, that the gospel might be preached and the cross heard rightly and clearly. Dear saints of the living God, you are that building project. You are his church. You are founded on the rock of Christ with the foundation of the prophets and the apostles that you have been built on. But each one of you is a house of our God, a temple for the Holy Spirit, a living stone, not made with hands. But no, built by the true builder, the creator of heaven and earth, our God, the architect, who calls, who gathers, who enlightens, even workers, that we may be built and made in his image. I know the church, the building project of God, doesn't look great in the world. It's not impressive. Outwardly, it's not sleek, and it's not glorious, and it's not impressive. Actually, it rather looks like a bunch of ugly sinners and hypocrites gathered together on a Sunday morning. It doesn't look anything like we are moving up the ladder, like we are climbing up a ladder, or anything like that. No, we are not perfect. Like Noah in the days before us, we struggle. We struggle with our flesh, but all the while belonging to our God and clinging to Him in faith in the midst of our sins. And where this Jesus is proclaimed, where this Jesus is believed, there the Holy Spirit is doing His work of building, His work of glorifying unworthy sinners, uplifting them far above the heavens and far above the chaos of this earth in His ark of the holy Christian church that He designed Himself, that He protects and builds in, where there are lives founded on the rock of Christ. Then you can be sure that God is there tearing down our old mistrusting life and building up new lives, houses of living stones built on the faith and confidence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happens, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when you don't have to worry about your salvation and whether you are pleasing to God or whether you have access to the Father, when He has built you on Christ and you have access to the Father, then you know what? You are free. You are free to take those idols that you love so much and cast them far away from you. You are free. You are free to live and move and have your being in Christ. Take the gifts that God has given you and give them generously to God and to one another, that His kingdom might be glorified and built up. You are free to live and to move and to have your being always in Jesus. Free not to worry about today or tomorrow, but to find comfort even here in the Spirit of your God who builds you up. Your strong tower, your heavenly gate, your ladder to heaven isn't one made of brick. It isn't one made of bitumen to take you up to heaven. Rather, it is our Lord Jesus Christ wearing our human flesh, coming down to lift Himself up on the cross, to be lifted high in the heavens, to draw you to Himself, to raise your mortal, natural body, to be the building that it was supposed to be, the building that God intended it to be, imperishable, immortal, indestructible, the building of our God, a house not made with hands, but eternal forever in the heavens, face to face with your eternal God, dwelling together forever. Guys, we don't go up. I can't say it clearly enough from this text. We don't go up. God comes down. God comes down to us and for us in the risen body and blood of Jesus, in His words and in His promises, so that you who trust in Him will never be put to shame. So then, blessed is the ark that God has built. Blessed is the church, you guys. Blessed are the families, all of you, who for the last 9 years I have had the privilege of serving and seeing in your joys and in your sorrows, you founded on Christ, whether it be joy praising God for the gifts He's given you, or whether it be sorrow calling out to God in your time of need. I see you built in this house on your risen Savior, the rock Jesus Christ and the foundations of the apostles. So blessed is the boat and the home, the church and the family, the men and the women, and the children who I am privileged to serve and call saints of Emmanuel. Blessed are you in Christ, now and forever. Amen.